preservation, or the last 2 weeks, how our salvation is secure, praise God, in Jesus Christ. So today we look at the doctrine of sanctification. It's a very interesting doctrine, as you'll see, but who would read Acts 26:18 to get us started? Any volunteers? Beryl, thank you. So notice it says sanctified by faith. So another thing that happens for us when we're born again is we are sanctified. Now this word sanctified for Christians has two meanings, as you'll see. And we'll use the two P words today. We'll use positional and practical. There's a lot of doctrines in the New Testament for us that are like this. For example, when you get into 1 John, there's verses that say that we don't sin. And then in the same book it says that if we say we don't sin, we're a liar. We need to confess our sins. So which is it? Well, they're both true. Positionally, we are already sinless in Christ. That is future tense, but in God's mind's eye, it's done. But practically, we still live in this body on this sinful earth and still sin. And so a lot of times you have to make sure you know the context. Is it positional? Is it where our standing is in Christ? Or is it practical, our daily walk with the Lord? Sanctification is one of those types of doctrines where positionally we are already sanctified or set aside for the Lord. We're already His. We're already in heaven. But practically, we're still here on earth and need to sanctify ourselves or set ourselves apart from the world and from sin with the Holy Spirit's help. So you'll understand as we walk through. But so sanctification is one of those dual doctrines. And this one here is talking about the positional sanctification. In other words, when we exercise faith in Jesus Christ, we are sanctified. We are immediately, that word sanctified means to be set apart or to be separated. We are immediately set apart from the world by God as one of His. We're set apart for a future in heaven with the Lord. That's immediate. As we'll see later on, God expects us also to sanctify ourselves while we're serving Him here on earth. So we'll pray and we'll understand this further. Lord, thank You for this privilege of studying Your Word and understanding more of all You've done for us through Jesus when we get saved. And Lord, I pray that this will be a blessing to our hearts and that You'll guide us in Your truth and teach us, please. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're sanctified by faith. Now, I want to show you that all three persons of the Trinity have a part in our sanctification when we are saved. So we'll start with Jude 1, and we'll see that God the Father has a part in our sanctification. So who would read Jude 1? And then while that person's turning, somebody else turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 2. So who would read Jude 1? And I want to show that all three parts of the Trinity have a part in our sanctification when we are saved. So Jude 1. Thank you, Beth. Correct.
Jude, servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ before.
So that was last week's doctrine, preserved in Jesus Christ. But notice it says sanctified by God the Father. So we see that God the Father has a part in our sanctification. Now who would read 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and we'll see that God the Son has a part in our sanctification. Howard?
And to the church of God which was at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours.
So notice it says sanctified in Christ Jesus. While you're in chapter 1, Howard, would you read verse 30 as well?
But come are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Amen. So notice that God the Father sanctifies us. God the Son sanctifies us. Let's read another one in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. So who would read that for us? 1 Corinthians 6, 11. And then while someone's turning there, somebody else go to Hebrews 10, 10, please. So who would read 1 Corinthians 6, 11? And we're seeing how God the Son sanctifies us. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. Philip, thank you.
Such was some of you, but you have washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of
So in the name of the Lord Jesus. We'll talk about the Spirit later. And then Hebrews 10:10. Beryl, thank you. So again, notice this is something that happens at salvation. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We are set aside. Immediately, God sets us aside and says, you're now one of mine. You're now one of my children. You're one of my servants. We're sanctified. And then Hebrews 13:12. One more on Jesus Christ. Who would read that for us? Volunteers? Thank you, Beth.
Therefore, Jesus Christ also, that we might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the name.
So notice it says, sanctify the people by his own blood. Jesus Christ sanctifies us through his blood. Just like he redeems us through his blood and he justifies us through his blood, he sanctifies us through his blood. So God the Father sanctifies us at salvation. God the Son sanctifies us at salvation. We saw in 1 Corinthians 6:11 it says, and by the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit sanctifies us at salvation. Let's look at another verse on that, Romans 15:16. Who would read that for us, please? And then while that person's turning there, 1 Peter 1:2. So who would read Romans 15:16? Any volunteers? Thank you, Howard.
If I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up for Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
Sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So notice we've seen God the Father sanctifies us, God the Son sanctifies us, and God the Holy Ghost sanctifies us. 1 Peter 1:2. Would we read that? Okay.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied.
Amen. So notice it says sanctification of the Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost sanctify us when we are saved. Remember, who do we belong to once we're saved? The Lord, that's right. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. It says we're bought with a price. The price of the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore we belong to him. So he set us aside and said, you're now one of mine. You're one of my servants. You're one of my children. I have sanctified you. I've set you apart. As one of mine, I've separated you from the world. You know, when Jesus was praying for his disciples there in John chapter 17, he said, Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. If he took us all out of the world, then there'd be no light. There'd be no salt, right? There'd be no witness. So he says, I don't pray that you remove them, but I pray that you keep them from the evil, that you keep them sanctified, keep them separated, keep them set apart from the world. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost sanctifies us, but there's a fourth that sanctifies us, and that is still Jesus Christ, but in the form of his word. And let's see that. So let's go to John 15, verse 3, and then someone else, John 17, 17. So who would read John 15, 3? Mr. Scott.
Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Amen. And then John 17, 17. Rex?
And I pray not that...
17, 17, Rex. Amen. Sanctify them through thy truth. Look at 17:19 of John. and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. The word of God, so we're now kind of transitioning from positional to practical. The word of God plays a huge part in our sanctification here on earth. How is that? From what we've read. How does the word of God have a part in helping us to sanctify ourselves from the world? Remember, it means to set apart or to separate. How does the word of God help us? Anybody? Philip? Exactly. So it gives us the way by obeying the scriptures. And as Jesus said, it even has a cleansing effect in our lives, right? It says, sanctify them through thy truth. And we saw John 15:3. Now you are clean through the word. So the word has a cleansing effect in our lives. The more time we spend in it, the more it can cleanse us and help us to be separate or separated or set aside from the world and its wicked ways. One more verse on the word, Ephesians 5:26. And we all need this. We need that cleansing power of the word of God because the world is all around us. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes are part of life. And it's very difficult to live in it. So the word gives us that help. Who would read Ephesians 5:26? Beth?
That he might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of
the
word. The
it there is the church, if you look at the context. So, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost sanctify us when we are born again, as we saw in Acts 26:18, sanctified by faith. When we trust Jesus Christ, we are sanctified, we are set apart by God. That's done. Until we leave this earth, we're here in our old man's bodies, surrounded by sin. And so on a practical level, now that was positional, on a practical level, God wants us to be sanctified from the world now as well in our daily walk. And the Word helps us. The more time we spend in the Word, the more cleansing effect, more cleansing power it has to cleanse the sin out of our lives, but also give us the power to sanctify ourselves or separate ourselves from this world and its wickedness. And so that brings us from the positional more to the practical. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2:21, and now we'll see more the practical side of our sanctification in Jesus Christ. So who would read 2 Timothy 2:21? Beryl? So notice it says, prepared for every good work. Does God want us to work for Him? Absolutely. He says one of the ways that we can be more prepared to work for the Lord, more, as it says, meet or acceptable for the Master's use, is that we be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. And how does that become real for us? Purge himself from these. And if you read the previous verses, it's talking about various sins. So the more that we purge ourselves from sin, the more sanctified we are, the more acceptable we are to the Lord, the more prepared we are to serve the Lord. It's difficult to serve the Lord when we're living in sin. So we need to be sanctified. We need to be separated, set apart from the world. That's very difficult, as we all know, but it's very possible with help of God's Word and God's Holy Spirit that we be sanctified. So that's the practical side. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and we'll see some more on the practical side of sanctification in our daily walk with Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, who would read verses 3 and 4, please? 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4. Come on. Go ahead, Philip. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 4.
Okay. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess your own vessel of sanctification and honor.
So in those verses, the word sanctification shows up twice. But notice, this is the will of God. So we're told right up front, this is God's will. This is your sanctification, that what? You should abstain from fornication, that you should abstain, that you should stay away from sin. And fornication is the specific one here. But he says that everyone should know how to possess his vessel. That's our body. It's just a vessel. How to possess his vessel in sanctification. So God's will is that what is already positionally true through Christ Jesus at salvation, he wants us to make it practically true in our daily walk. And that's up to us. He gave us a free will. We can choose to be sanctified from the world or not. If we choose not, then obviously then God has to deal with us in other ways. But his will is that we be set apart or sanctified from the world so that we might be effective servants for him. Now, there's a lot of verses on being separate from the world, right? Most of us know Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the ultimate sanctification, is it not? Is a sacrifice wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And the next verse says, and be not conformed to this world. So there's the practical side. Be separate from the world. And then let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll see some more. So God sanctified us at salvation. Hallelujah. Set us apart. We're his. That can't change. Until we leave this earth, we're still in this old body. We're still surrounded by sin. God's will is that we be sanctified on a daily basis, set aside, separated, so that we might serve him more effectively. Who would read 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 17 and 18? Go ahead and read all three of those. Any volunteers? 6:14, 17, 18. Mr. Scott. 14, 17, 18.
Be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness? Wherefore come out from among them, that be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
You see that phrase, be ye separate? So God isn't talking here about positional, because we're already separate positionally. It's done. We're going to heaven. The world's going to hell. We're separate. He's talking about now we need to be separate. That is our decision to separate ourselves. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And as it says there in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So be separate, be sanctified, so that we might be effective servants of Jesus Christ. So that's the practical side of sanctification. Like it said in 2 Timothy, purge himself. Purge himself. We have to separate ourselves from sin. Now, it's tough, and we need God's help to do it, but it's God's will that we be sanctified or set apart. For what purpose? For the master's use. He left us here to serve him, right? He wants us to be the most effective servants possible. How do we do that? By being sanctified, separate from the world. Does that make sense? Any questions, comments about sanctification? So we got positional, we got practical. Like I said, many verses in 1 John say that we no longer sin. And yet the same book says, but we do sin. So which is it? Both are true. Positionally, we're sinless, right? We've talked about this. We've talked about imputation, we're righteous. We've talked about justification, we're justified. We've, in God's mind's eye, in Christ, we are sinless. We've never sinned. It's gone. And yet daily we sin. And that's why he says if we confess our sins. So one's talking about positionally in Christ, we're sinless. The other is talking about in our daily walk, we still sin. And as Christians, we need to confess daily and maintain those short accounts with God to be clean so that we might be effective servants of Jesus Christ. Same with sanctification. Questions, comments? So next week we look at our final doctrine of salvation, which is glorification, which is the final step. Amen? When we get our new bodies, no more sin, and we get our inheritance, when our salvation is completed. Now, it is doctrinally completed, but for us, practically, it's not completed yet because we're still walking around in these old bodies that give us so much trouble. This old man that keeps wearing out. That all ends. And we will one day, as it says, we're waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Then it will be complete. And we're calling that glorification because we will be with the Lord in glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. So that'll be number 13, glorification. Any thoughts or questions before we close in prayer this morning?